sitting at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Privacy.
Right.
Well.
Peace.
Illusions.
Movement.
It's my mistake, and let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression.
Expression, expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service, new channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings with co-hosts Tatenda Chikukwa and Gord Barnes. Today we're going to talk about a number of issues and campaigns and things that are happening with Amnesty. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Welcome, Jim, with your radio voice.
A little deeper with my cold. So I may be sucking on a cough candy here.
Right.
I'm at the tail end of a cold, which I hope that nobody gets because it's not, no fun.
No fun at all. Eh?
I'm doing better, though.
Good we have the door open then, and we're not confined in this tiny space with
you. That's right. Never good to be confined in a tiny space with a guy with a cold.
Nope.
But I don't think I'm very infectious, and I'm not hacking and coughing.
Yeah, this little flu bug seems to be going around a lot.
Yeah. Before we get going, I'd like to acknowledge and talk about and encourage people to take part in the CJTR 2014 Look and Listen Lottery, which is going on. We're getting close to our time when everything is going to come to an abrupt halt and we're going to pick a winner. And that is going to be on May the 8th.
Wow, that's okay? Really close.
And it's just galloping up here now. So if you don't have a ticket, I think it would be a good idea for you to find someone like me. I don't have them right on me, but I do. I can sell you a ticket. And if you came down to the office this afternoon, I could sell you a ticket. But the grand prize trip for two to New York City is the big one. It's a great prize. If you've never been to New York City, then you gotta go. And if you've been before, then you probably want to go again. The return airfare for two is four star hotel for three nights, and Mets or Yankees baseball tickets. Tickets for a motor coach tour of Manhattan and tour of Radio City Music Hall. We've all heard of Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
$1,000 cash to spend any way you want.
$1,000 Canadian or American?
Tough question. We'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Second prize is $1,000, that'd be Canadian, a travel voucher from Carlson Wagenlee Rickert Travel. Third prize is a relaxing getaway at Moose Jaw's Temple Gardens Mineral Spa.
I want that one.
Me too. I could use a relaxing getaway this weekend. Mm-hmm. Two-night stay, breakfast and dinner at Harwood's Dining Room, $100 gaming credit at casinos Regina and Moose Jaw. The tickets for this lottery are only $20. And only 1,200 tickets are going to be sold. So that makes your odds of winning very good. Mm-hmm. Compared to, it's like buying a Lotto 649, whatever, where you got a better chance of being struck by lightning. These are much better. You can buy your tickets here at CJTR at 1102 8th Avenue, or you can call radio station 525-7274 during regular office hours, Monday through Friday, or find a programmer like me, and I'll get you a ticket. You can pay by credit card just over the phone, or you can come down and you'll either fill out a form to do that, or if Karen is here, well, anyway, it can be done.
Okay.
It can be done.
I have a crisp 20 on me. I'm very tempted.
Oh, well.
I am very tempted.
Let me look after you after the show.
Okay.
For more information about the rules of play or prizes, go to www.cjtr.ca. And you can also, by the way, buy tickets at Vintage Vinyl, Traditions Handcraft Gallery, and Bach and Beyond. So patronize those businesses and buy a ticket.
Cool.
For sure.
Yeah. And, of course, proceeds go to improving and maintaining what we have here at Regina Community Radio, CJTR.
The first thing we're going to buy is a clock for this radio. Yes.
You just have to ask me. I'll tell you what time it is.
Okay, good.
Or
good.
You can be on this side of the board here, and you look at the computer, and it tells you that it's 12:11:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will be there.
Okay. All right, moving right along then.
Okay.
I think I was going to prevail upon you to
yes.
talk about some...
Tomorrow is a very special day. April 4th is the 29th anniversary of the Singh decision, which is the Supreme Court's 1985 Singh decision, in which the Supreme Court found the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom to protect the rights of refugees.
Cool.
Yeah. So what this means, in 1985, a group of Sikhs, seven of them, were refugees, went to the Supreme Court and said that, and wanted to seek asylum, mm-hmm. because they feared persecution in their home country.
Right.
And eventually, it started in 1977, so mm-hmm. eventually in 1985, their decision was approved and they were allowed to become Canadian citizens.
So that's where all this started, basically, or?
In terms of... Refugee Rights Day. That's
oh, yes, okay. Refugee Rights Day.
And I think it was a significant decision because it really confirmed the rights of refugees relative to the Canadian Charter. And that's one of the key things. And I think it's worth noting that day because, you know, there are still things that people who are refugees in Canada have to struggle through in terms of, for example, currently... in many cases, they're not getting the support for health care that they need. So, you know, even though there's the significant decision in 1985 by the Supreme Court, there's lots of opportunity for improvement in the way refugees are treated in Canada. And, you know, there's always an opportunity to maybe remind your member of parliament of that and the date of April 4th.
Yeah. I kind of get the impression watching the news over the last few years that things are kind of sliding backwards a little in terms of the way our refugee claimants are being treated and processed. For example, the Tamils that came on that ship into Vancouver and the whole works was confined and...
Yes, there's a big distinction between somebody who applies for a refugee asylum and somebody who comes on a migrant boat.
Mm.
We're more likely to send people who come by migrant boats back to their original country than people who are refugees.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a country... I mean, it was definitely a discussion because where they were coming from, you know, Sri Lanka, they're still having problems there,
mm-hmm.
you know. because of the conflict that they had, and the Tamil Tigers were eventually militarily beaten, and of course now the trying to get the country back to a peaceful situation is really difficult if you're Tamil. So there you go.
But you know, whenever we're having that discussion about people arriving to Canadian borders through one process or another, maybe they arrive by airplane and make, as you say, a refugee claim to Tenda, or arrive by boat, it's always worth reflecting on what happened during the Second World War when, you know, people who were Jewish arrived from Europe on Canadian waters, you know, in the East Coast, and were turned back. And unfortunately, some of those people, when they arrived back in Europe, were never seen again. You know, there was a attitude amongst a senior official in the immigration department during the Second World War that, in terms of the acceptance of refugees who are Jewish, none is too many. And there's actually a really good book about that period of Canadian history that's very tragic. And I think, as you say, that whether people arrive already as approved as refugees, or people might arrive by boat or cross the border into Canada through the United States or by airplane and file a refugee claim, they need to be given a fair process to have their claim considered. And that's key. So it is worth noting that day. I'm glad you've raised the.
I have a few points on the results of that. So the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom guarantees the basic rights of refugee claimants in Canada. Refugees' determination must respect the principles of fundamental justice. And fundamental justice requires that where credibility is an issue, refugee claimants must have an oral hearing so they can tell their stories for themselves.
Good stuff. Yeah.
One thing that's happened on a couple of occasions, too, is the Canadian government deems countries safe or not safe. And there have been a couple of occasions where they've disallowed a refugee claim because they say the country's safe. They send the person back to the country they say is safe, and that person is killed. And this has happened a couple of times. So that indicates to me that our government has to take a harder look at this practice, and you know, you have to ask yourself, well, how is it possible? Yeah. So obviously, somebody is not really being realistic, you know. And I think there seems to be a tendency sometimes for the government to take too much of a dollars and cents attitude. I mean, sure, all this costs money, but we're talking about human lives here. And it's more than just an unfortunate decision if you send somebody back to their country and they get killed. You know, my opinion.
The history of Canada refugees have really actually, once they've settled here and had an opportunity to meet new people and become friends with people in Canada, have really made a significant contribution in terms of our economy one way or another. I know very well many people in Regina, in our own community here, who have you know, arrived maybe in the late 1980s, who now are in business. They arrived maybe from Chile, from Vietnam, from Cambodia, from Laos, and those people are well settled in Regina and contributing either in terms of their work or are in business and employing other people. So, you know, I think that aspect of it needs to be kept in mind as well. And
yeah, we always disassociate refugees and our increase in population and our boom in population. Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah.
From immigrants and refugees.
Yeah.
And they add to our economy.
Yeah, if you look at our actual birth rate, Quebec is the worst.
Wow.
But generally speaking, birth rate in Canada is not doing the growth, you know, that we need.
So, moving on to a different topic. On Thursday last week, Amnesty International issued a new report, and it was about the global campaign to abolish the death penalty. And it really is an annual update that Amnesty International does to highlight where executions are happening around the world. And it's a significant concern where there has been a spike in the number of executions globally that are reported. Unfortunately, in many cases, they're not reported. For example, we don't have clear numbers with respect to China. But as I say, last Thursday, the global report was issued by Amnesty International. We thought we'd take some time to reference that. And Tatenda, I think you've got some of the highlights from that report available.
Yeah. So 778 executions were recorded in 22 countries. So that's a 15% increase last year. And five of the biggest executioners are Iran, Iraq, China, Saudi Arabia, and the USA. And in the US, I think it was like 40% of executions were committed in Texas. And I think Maryland became the 18th state to abolish executions. So
that's good news.
That's good news on one side.
I don't know. I think, isn't Montana going down that road? They seem to be thinking in terms of abolishing. They've had a few local, when I say local, they've had a few situations there where I think they're really starting to give some serious thought to abolishing there.
That's right. Montana is a good example of a state where there's a very healthy debate about the continued use of the death penalty. I actually get emails from Manitoba, or sorry, the what is it? The
Montana
Coalition Against the Death Penalty, and you know, there's a really active coalition there, and I think they're making significant progress in that state in terms of raising awareness about the whole ethic of the continued use of the death penalty. And I think that debate is happening increasingly in across the United States. I know personally, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it seemed like it was pretty widely accepted that that's the way to go in the United States. But fortunately, there's a widespread discussion about that in the remaining states that continue to use the death penalty. And as you say, Tatenda, that was good news that Maryland has joined the list.
So 18 out of how many? 50 states? I'm not American, so it's okay.
There's progress. And,
yeah, so 98 countries out of 169 countries in the world have abolished the death penalty.
Right.
Yeah. So we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, one of the things that's always a question that people sort of raise is the discussion around the whole ethic of the death penalty and the arguments for and against it. And really, that's something that people need to explore and take time to have a look at. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good reading on that topic. And I just thought I'd share at the beginning of the discussion some of the things that I think is useful in terms of books that people might want to read. One is a book called The Practice of Execution in Canada. It's written actually by a history professor at the University of Regina and just published a few years ago now. And it does go through, you know, the history of hanging in Canada and what has happened in terms of, in many cases, very significantly botched hangings that are well documented, and it's a horrible part of our own history in Canada here.
Does he cover Louis Riel in there?
Yes, it does, and in quite significant detail. It talks about the very last execution that took place in December 11th of 1962 in Toronto's Don Jail, where Arthur Lucas and Ronald Turpin were hung. And also, you know, reflects on some of the, you know, some of the debates that went on within the House of Commons and elsewhere in society about whether it's an appropriate thing to be doing. Another really good reference book that I think is worth referring to is a book called The Exonerated, and it goes back to the discussion we were having with respect to the United States and the death penalty. The Exonerated is really actually a play that was written, and it's based on the experiences of people who were actually on death row in the United States. The play was performed for a number of years on Broadway and other places in the States, and I know it was performed in London, England. In that particular case, my sister who lives there was had a small part in that play when it was performed in England. But, you know, The Exonerated is actually based on true stories of people mm-hmm. who were in death row and later found to be not guilty of the crimes that they were charged with and then released. No compensation as compared to situations in Canada where, for example, you know, David Melgaard was charged with murder and imprisoned for a number of years and finally found not responsible for the crime that he was accused of. And in his case, he did receive compensation. The people who were exonerated in the States have just simply been released and walked out of jail without any compensation. One of the stories that's told is in The Exonerated is one by about Sonny Jacobs. Sonny Jacobs was on death row for years in the States. She was accused of murder along with her partner of a Florida police officer. And the story is quite tragic. There was a third person with them who eventually confessed that he was the one responsible for the murder, even though Sonny Jacobs was in prison and on death row for years. Her partner, who was also convicted of murder in that instance, was actually executed before, you know, the third person acknowledged his responsibility for the crime. So, you know, it was a tragic story. But there is a book that Sonny Jacobs has written as well that I'd recommend people reading if you're interested. And a third sort of book that I think is many people would be aware of because they also made it a movie is called Dead Men Walking. It was published a few years ago by sister Helen Prejean, and I think, again, raises lots of issues around the use of the death penalty in the States. So those are just a few things, and I know you've got more information about the report, Tatenda, that you probably could share in terms of some of the things that we've...
I think what also people find interesting is that the other charges that you can be punished to death with, adultery, blasphemy, economic crimes, rape, and aggravated robbery. So in these countries that have the death penalty that take them to the extreme, you could basically do anything mm-hmm. and you could be killed for it. And I know in Saudi Arabia, if you commit a crime when you're a juvenile, they can bring up that charge even when you're 50 and you can be punished and put to death for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, any studies that you hear about the death penalty, like the big excuse of having the death penalty is... Well, one of them anyway is the deterrent. You know, if you're going to die, you won't, you know, if you know you get caught, you're going to be executed. But studies have shown that that's not the case. It has no deterrent effect, you know. And then the other aspect is there's such great possibility in many cases of being wrong. And Gordon was talking about some cases the sentence was not the sentence, but the conviction was actually totally off, and people spend years and years and years in prison or die or whatever, you can let somebody out of prison if you've discovered you've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But if you execute them, there's no coming back from that. You know,
it's final.
It's a huge, huge injustice for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, on that note, we're just about to the bottom of the hour.
Good stuff. So we're going to go into the break and a bit of music after that. And
it's going to be a surprise. I'm going to let people guess.
we
got a singer with a distinct singing style, and we'll just see how well they're aware. And this is going back a little bit, but she's still singing. So
cool.
We'll get into the break here now and do some music, and we'll come back and talk about more amnesty issues.
Judge so cruel that one doctor save him. Two healers cannot heal him. Three eyes cannot see him. Four ears cannot hear him. Five walls cannot hide him. Six beggars cannot buy him.
Did you guess who the artist is there? Well, I'm sure. Well, I suppose if you've never heard her, you wouldn't know. But somebody my age would know that we were listening to Joan Baez.
All right.
And she was singing a song on this great collection of songs we have. The songs of Bob Dylan is called "Chimes of Freedom." It was commissioned for Amnesty International. And there are four discs in the set, and we have a huge number. I'm not even sure how many artists we have here on these four discs, and they're all singing songs written by Bob Dylan. So if you're interested in this particular collection of CDs, you can find it on the Amnesty website. Go and have a look, and you will find it.
Cool. Good choice, Jim.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I've heard Joan.
Yeah.
So you had a few more things you wanted to talk about with regard to the death penalty?
Yes, I wanted to give you a regional report. Is that all right?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay. So in the Americas, several greater Caribbean states reported empty death row seats for the first time since Amnesty International began keeping records in 1980.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, and this is where it gets a bit sticky. In Asia, Vietnam and Indonesia both resumed executions last year. Indonesia used the death penalty for the first time in 4 years. Five men were put to death in 2013, and two were executed for drug-related crimes.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, China continues to execute people, and it's a state secret, so we have no data. We have no way of knowing this. So. Yeah. It is reported that they have the most killings in the world. Yeah. And in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, only five countries executed: Botswana, Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, and Sudan. Nigeria, Somalia, and Sudan together carried more than 90% of the region's executions. Executions in Somalia jumped from six in 2012 to 34 last year. Okay, and to finally end off, in the Middle East, at least 169 people were put to death. That's an increase of almost one-third from the year before. That was mostly in Iran and Iraq. In Iran, there was a 369 executions were officially acknowledged by the authorities in 2013. So bringing the total up to 700.
Wow.
Executions in that region alone. And we were talking about earlier this year, Amnesty International, was it last year? I think it was last year. Last year, Amnesty International helped Hamid Ghashal.
Right.
Yeah. Ghashal escape death row and persecution in Iran.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
From our letter writing campaign.
Yeah. And he was, how long had he been in Evin prison, Gordon?
In Tehran and Evin prison for about 5 years.
Yeah.
And one thing to note for our listeners who are in Regina, that on April 24th, the Regina Amnesty International Group will be having our annual meeting at the United Way at 6:30. It's kind of like a dessert potluck and meeting, but everybody's welcome. And Hamid Ghashal Mishal, as I say, who was on death row for a number of years in Iran, he lived previously in Toronto in the Beaches area, and his wife, who was still in Toronto, campaigned tirelessly on his behalf, as do many people right across Canada and around the world.
We met her last summer.
Yeah, we met her, as Jim was saying, at the Amnesty International Canada annual meeting. But we're going to be, during the course of the April 24th Regina Group meeting, arranging a Skype call with Hamid and his wife so that they can kind of give us an update about how well he's doing. He's back in Toronto now, but the whole business of being on death row in Iran. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting case, too, because even just in the last few weeks, he has been campaigning internationally himself to mm-hmm. raise awareness of what's going on in Iran and the continued human rights issues and the use of the death penalty there, because clearly it's a continuing concern. Reports that Amnesty International has received indicate that just in the beginning of this year, in January alone, over 40 people were executed in Iran. And we really need to continue to raise awareness of that and campaign against the use of the death penalty in that country. So maybe we should shift it up just a little bit and come back to the discussion in a few minutes, Jim, but about the death penalty, because we wanted to make that the major focus of our program today. But I think if we could kind of cut in and give you an opportunity, Jim, to maybe for our listeners, share some information about other upcoming events that we've got on the horizon in the next little while.
Well, if you go and look at our local website, that's the Amnesty Saskatchewan website, there are a number of things on it, one of which we're encouraging people to take part in the AI Canada Stop Torture webinar. And if you've never had a webinar experience before, it's really interesting. It's not difficult to do. When you register, you will get a software package that you just click on it, and it gets in your computer, and it's quite simple to participate in the webinar. And so you end up talking with people around the country, and it's facilitated by someone in Ottawa at AI headquarters. And in this particular case, it's a lady by the name of Sean McLean. Have we had Sean on this show? I think we have.
We have,
right. So Sean has been here. I know Jackie Hansen's been here.
Yeah.
And anyway, the topic is Stop Torture, and we'll be asking the questions, why is torture on the increase, and what can you do to stop it? And you'll have an opportunity to learn more about the Global Stop Torture Campaign, which is a two-year campaign launching on May 13th. And so what they're basically going to do is lay out how we plan to roll out the campaign in Canada and how you can get involved. They're going to focus on the May 13th campaign launch, nationwide events on June 26th, and promotion of the campaign at festivals and markets throughout the summer. And so they're not just telling you about it. They also want your ideas as well. They want our creative action ideas and thoughts about what kind of, for example, what kind of swag to hand out at summer events. Mm-hmm. And they're also looking for your thoughts about how people can be inspired to take action to stop torture when you're at concerts and festivals. So they're going to be targeting people at concerts and festivals. I imagine it's sort of like the kind of tabling that we do at events.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a link there that you can find if you just go and have a look at it. And I'm not going to bother telling you what the link is, because what I want you to do is go to the site and find it yourself. It's much easier than you copying down something that I'm reading to you here. Moving right along here, the next item on the Saskatchewan Amnesty page is they want you to join Yoga Day for Human Rights. And that's going to be April 26th.
So it's going to be a bit of a stretch, eh?
Some people. Anyway.
A good one, though. It'll be a good one.
On April 26th, yoga studios, schools, workplaces, and community centers nationwide will roll out yoga mats for one common purpose: to raise money and awareness for Amnesty International's work to protect and promote human rights. So please join us. Amnesty International's Yoga Day for Human Rights, and help raise money and awareness to build a more just and free world. And once again, there's a link that you can go to that will tell you how you can become involved. So I've got my trusty netbook here as I'm going from place to place, and now we've got an Amnesty Saskatchewan activist webinar. And this is an invitation to all human rights activists in Saskatchewan to join us at 7 o'clock, that's on May 14th, for a webinar, another webinar, yay, when we will be sharing some of the highlights of our human rights work in the last few years. This is really interesting. You know, when we had a gathering, provincial gathering at Luther a couple of years ago, and boy, we had some people there who were, it was fascinating to hear about the sort of things they did to dramatize Amnesty and make people aware of the issues that we find very troubling in the world. So anyway, we're going to have a webinar on that. And once again, they would like to get your ideas about how we can build a larger community of Amnesty International activists, that's you and me, in Saskatchewan. And this is hosted by our own field workers in Saskatchewan, of whom Gord is one. So you're going to be giving us some hints there, Gord?
Yeah, and really an opportunity for people across the province to share ideas about what we might do to, as you say, to expand the number of people who are involved with Amnesty and taking an interest in the variety of human rights issues that we are wanting to raise throughout the year. We will be having, we're having discussions now about a fall conference again in likely in middle of October, and we want to kind of update people, give people an opportunity to provide some input to that. So it's a good one to mark down for Wednesday.
We haven't picked a venue for that yet, have we, Gordon?
Not yet. We've got discussions going on about having it in Humboldt, actually, but okay. We haven't come to a conclusion on that.
Nice to move it around a bit.
Yeah, and we give people in the northwest and northeast part of the province a better opportunity to participate. And you know, it's a short drive over from Saskatoon as well. So
yeah, back to the webinar for just a second.
Okay.
There's a little note here about system requirements. If you have a PC, then you need Windows 8 or 7 or Vista or XP or 2003 server. Mac-based attendees, you need a Mac operating system 10.6 or newer. And mobile attendees, you can participate with an iPhone, an iPad, an Android phone or Android tablet. So that's covering a lot of platforms, that's for sure. Yeah. That's good. Alrighty, what else do we have here? Check out. I love my netbook, by the way. This is not a commercial. But I do all sorts of stuff. I do webinars. I do PowerPoints on my little netbook.
Cool.
Yeah. It's very convenient. Just carry it around in your back pocket.
That's right. Just about. And on Saturday, May 24th, May is a busy month, at 2014, Amnesty International Canada is going to have their AGM. Now, you may have heard from us that we're going to sort of a biennial format where we're going to have a big conference every 2 years, but legally we have to have a meeting every year because, you know, we're a nonprofit corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be one of our small years. And this is going to be our first ever small AGM. And we agreed to do this at the AGM in 2011. And so 2014 is a small meeting focusing only on the essential business of the organization. And the best way to participate in a small AGM is to do so online. So, hey, we're going to have lots of opportunities to save money here. So, it's going to be kind of a webinar type of thing. But to find out more about if you want to participate. And by the way, if you have donated, $35 If you're a donor to to Amnesty, you're considered a member.
Yeah.
You know, memberships, like if you just want a membership, then that's $35. But if you're in the habit of giving $50 or whatever, $60 or more to Amnesty, you're considered a member and you are eligible to take part in the meeting. So this is going to be offered from 1:30 to 2:30 Eastern Daylight Time on Saturday, May 24th. And once again, there's a link, which I'm not going to tell you about because you can look it up yourself on the page here. But that is really kind of an innovative new way of doing our Amnesty business. And I say it's necessitated by the fact that we have to have a meeting. So we're doing it. We're trying to save some money here because we spend an awful lot of money traveling and hotels and and meals and all that sort of thing. So we're just trying to be a little more aware of the expenditures there.
Economic and environmentally friendly.
Yes.
And that whole direction of moving away from having an large annual meeting in Amnesty Canada every year really has facilitated the growth of our regional meetings, where many more people participate in right across Canada in regional meetings. And you mentioned the one we had 2 years ago at Luther at the University of Regina. Last year, the one in Moose Jaw that was a Saskatchewan regional meeting was well attended. It was about 100 people that attended that one. And, you know, people all across Saskatchewan. So the idea, you know, was debated about moving to every second year for AI Canada and receive support. So I think we got through the list of upcoming events, but did want to...
There's one more thing.
Okay, go fire away.
Yeah. We're going to drink tea and raise money for human rights on May 28th.
Okay.
Hmm? Second here.
A tea party.
A tea party, yes. And we tell you here on this page that it's fun and simple. And we can hold our own Amnesty tea party for friends and colleagues. Or this is an invitation for you to go and do this.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you can plan a bigger event and open it to the public. All you need is an hour or two to get the ball rolling. You set yourself a fundraising target, invite guests, and raise money through donations for tea and cake or tea and sandwiches, you know, or chocolates. That's my idea because I like chocolate. You can hold an Amnesty, we're calling it Amnesty.
The puns.
You can do that anytime. On your birthday, that would be good. My birthday's May 23rd.
Oh.
So you could have one on my birthday. Mm. Yeah. Or you could have Amnesty International's birthday, May 28th, or on a Friday to end a hard working week. So now this is a new thing. If you raise $200 or more, and you will receive our new spectacular Amnesty tea towel.
Cool.
Dang.
If you would like to have an Amnesty, now this is an Amnesty tea towel, okay, for your event. If you just want it, you can go and you can buy it. You can purchase it at our online store.
I still want the sweater. I'm really looking for the sweater.
If you start looking, there's some interesting...
I will get the hat, the sweater, the tea towel, and the sweatpants, and just be a walking traffic cone.
and once again, if you need more information, well, you should go and check out all the stuff that's available for you. There is a link there that you can click on, amnesty.ca/events/amnesty. Okay.
Sugar or no sugar?
I'm sweet enough.
So we did mention as well the April 24th annual meeting for the Regina Group, and people can find information about that on the Amnesty Saskatchewan website. And lastly, the Saskatoon Community Group will be having their annual meeting on April 28th. And again, we've got the details of where that's going to be held on the website too. So lots of stuff coming up. It's going to be a busy spring, but a lot of energy. So just to kind of return, we just got a few minutes to return to the earlier discussion we were having about the death penalty. We did want to take a bit of time to reflect on what, just briefly, on, you know, the whole debate that took place years ago in Canada, because there was, I think, a pretty significant closure to the debate in Canada. That took place in a vote in the House of Commons in 1987, and it had, you know, a large debate. The various churches in Canada participated in something called the Coalition Against the Return of the Death Penalty, and Amnesty International and other organizations. It was, I would say, a relatively close vote, but it was, on the other hand, from many perspectives, the motion to bring back the death penalty was described as being a healthy defeat of that motion. The vote was 148 to 127. It was a free vote by members of parliament. And the significant thing of the today was, I think that Prime Minister of the day, Brian Mulroney, spoke in opposition to the return of the death penalty, as did many other prominent members of parliament. But as I say, from what Tatenda was saying earlier in the program, it's a continuing issue in many countries around the world, and we encourage people to participate along with Amnesty International and other organizations to raise awareness. Mm-hmm. And Jim, you wanted to...
I think one more time here. I think
all right, good.
Just remind people about our Look and Listen lottery here at CJTR, because this is a wonderful opportunity to help support Regina Community Radio, and B, you could end up in New York. You know, so there's a definite possibility, if you buy the ticket, of ending up in New York, and for sure you're going to be helping Regina Community Radio. So we've got the New York trip, and we've got a $1,000 travel voucher from Carlson Vaughan Lee Rickert, and we've got a relaxing getaway at New York's Temple Gardens Mineral Spa. Those are the three prizes that you could win if you buy one of our Look and Listen lottery tickets. And you can buy them here at the station or from any programmer. You don't have to get over your easy chair. You can just pick up a phone and call us, you know, during regular business hours here at the radio station at 306-525-7274, and we'll take your information, and Karen will send you out your ticket. So there's really no excuse. And I'm looking forward to seeing your tickets being bought. And the whole thing is, now we're getting interested in who's going to be the winner. Anybody that's gone out has had a wonderful time, so we encourage you to buy a ticket. And we're just about done here, so we're going to close up Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, and we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."